Hey listeners, thanks for tuning in to the Amplify Your Process Safety podcast. In today's episode, we discuss combustible dust, including in a major event in 2008, and an overview of standards applicable to combustible dust handling. As always, Rob and I thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join your hosts, Wesley Carter and Rob Bartlett, in their mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Wesley.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you today?
Pretty good. What? It's a new year?
It is a new year.
2020 for our audience.
We are recording this on January 3rd.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like a microphone.
We are recording on a microphone.
That's good. What are we going to talk about today?
I thought it would be a good time today, first day of 2020, to talk about combustible dust and some of the issues related to combustible dust, especially given that there is a deadline coming up for those facilities that use combustible dust later this year. So it might be good to start with that.
Yeah, I think that's good. And this is something we've been wanting to talk about for a little while, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's just now we've gotten to it. Yeah,
it's been on the list for since the beginning. So I think this is a good time. So get right into it.
Yeah.
Okay. So combustible dust, I guess the first thing to consider is, or to ask is, what, when we say combustible dust, what are we talking about? And essentially combustible dust is any material that as a dust in a fine particulate, and when it's mixed with air at a certain concentration, could cause an explosion.
Yeah, it's got a, what do they call that word? The minimum ignition energy?
You got a minimum ignition energy. You've got a minimum.
That's the amount of energy required to ignite it, right?
So if you're going to, how big of a static spark or something would it require? Also, you've got minimum oxygen concentration, when you talk about combustible dust, those of us who are kind of in chemical facilities or in oil and gas facilities, we think a lot about flammable liquids, and there are a lot of analogies between the two.
Like an aerosol, kind of?
No, like I'm talking like LEL. When we all talk about flammable materials.
I understand. You're talking about the mixture of oxygen and the right amount of that, whatever your dust is.
Exactly. Right. So in the same way that a flammable liquid that can turn into a vapor, that vapor in a certain concentration, you get too much oxygen.
You're just waiting on an ignition source.
You don't get any. Well, if you get too much, it won't ignite because you're too fuel rich. If you have too little, so you have the same. You have similar concepts with combustible dust.
Okay.
So we're not really going to get into the science of combustible dust here. What we're really going to talk about is, at a high level, if you have a combustible dust, what do you need to do about it?
Okay.
And in a lot of ways, the first place that we would look for something like this is what? Where do you think the first place that we would look to determine whether or not we might have a material that's a combustible dust?
The first place we would look?
Perhaps. Maybe a safety data sheet?
Sure. I mean, it's going to have information on the chemical. It should have stuff, like I mentioned, that minimum ignition energy, things like that.
You would think that stuff would be on an SDS, but I think over time, companies are moving in that direction.
So where do you go find it?
Really, you've got to test the material. So you've got to, in a lot of ways, you either assume it's combustible dust, or if you're not sure, you've got to send it out to a special laboratory that has certain equipment to do the right testing to determine whether or not it's combustible dust, and then determine some of the other.
An interesting sidebar.
Yeah.
When I was, this was a few years ago, but I was in, for working for a chemical company, I was in France, and I actually got to go into their process safety laboratory where they were developing new chemicals. This is in Lyon, France, and it was interesting to see them taking a component or a new material that just, patented, and they're doing all the initial tests on, what is the MIE, and to see them actually take this material and slowly up the concentration with air, and then at each up concentration, they would actually do different MIEs, minimum ignition energies, to then determine what concentrations and what amount of energy were specific to that chemical. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, essentially that's what you would do. That's what a lab here in the US or where, I mean, essentially yeah. wherever you are in the world, that's a sort of testing that they're
But that's what do. You need, like you said.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
Yep.
We need to understand the hazardous properties of our combustible dust.
Right.
Okay.
And essentially, you know, the thing about combustible dust is, for the most part, if you get anything like small enough, fine enough particles, we're talking about like micron sizes.
Sure.
It will become a combustible dust. And pretty much most organic solid materials, so sugar, flour, wood, grains, you know, we've seen grain silos that blow up, right?
Yeah.
Because at a fine enough
so this is level. This is one of the questions I was going to ask, you know, for our listeners yeah. is, what are some practical examples? Yep. I know you'll talk about, you know, an incident, you know, that happened in the past.
Yeah.
But
so as well as things like that, pretty much most plastics end up being, will be combustible, again, if you get them down to a small enough size. And metals are a similar thing that are particularly dangerous. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can get combustible dust, and we all have processes, or many people have. If you have solids, you probably have processes that are generating dust. The question is it generating dust that's small enough to actually become combustible? So okay. That's a bit of a basis.
It's a good way to frame it.
Yeah. So what I wanted to kind of start off with, what we really wanted to talk about here the consensus standards that exist to help companies to prevent major incidents. And really there's one incident that when you talk about combustible dust really kind of like put on the front burner, a lot of upgrades to the standards that have happened over the last 10 years.
And that happens a lot, right? There's some major event.
There's a major event. We all, when we talk about PSM, we all talk about Bhopal.
The Texas City refinery, when it blew up, it required, you know, modifications to the facility siting standards right. that were out there. So similar to what you're going to talk about for combustible dust, there was a major event.
On February 7th, 2008, a huge explosion and fire occurred at the Imperial Sugar Refinery, which was northwest of Savannah, Georgia. And this is the incident that really is kind of cited as this kind of started the whole real focus in industry on combustible dust.
Okay.
14 deaths and 38 injuries. So that's really
pretty substantial.
Major, major incident. So what happened, right? So
I don't know, Rob.
As the name says, Imperial Sugar, they process sugar.
Yeah.
They refined sugar. So they took, I don't know, molasses or, you know, whatever, and they made it into the sugar you go down to buy, you know, at the grocery store. How can that be dangerous?
Well, they've got a lot of it. They've got a lot of combustible dust. Sugar.
They do.
Sugar is a very fine. You look at different types of sugars, right? It's not just, I mean, I don't know anything about their process. I'm just being honest. But yeah. What I say is, you know, I think about just sugars you see as a consumer. You know, you see granulated, like, you know, and then you see even finer, like, you know, wow. What do you call that? Powdered
sugar, confectioner right. sugar.
So absolutely. I could imagine in a place that makes sugar, that this could be a combustible dust could be a real thing.
Sure, right. But if you don't think about the particulate size, like how fine that dust is, and you just say, hey, if you ask somebody off the street, hey, do sure. you think that sugar is a potential problem? As from
for your
an
weight,
explosion
for
standpoint,
your weight.
Maybe explosion of your weight. No, yeah. If you think it's a process safety problem,
yeah.
Before this, people would say, I don't know, maybe. Anyway.
It's not as easy to make the correlation between a flammable and a sugar.
Exactly.
That they have similar things that can go really wrong.
Exactly. So what we learned is that it can happen. And I really encourage any listener who has combustible dust at their facility to go to the Chemical Safety Board's website and watch the video
CSB.
It's the CSB.
Yeah.
Watch the video that they made for this. It's fantastic and shows what can happen if your process is not maintained, and especially with obviously combustible dust. Essentially what happened is they had a process upset, which caused a backup of, you know, they've got a conveyor belt with sugar going, sugar being transported from one part of the plant to the other part of the plant. And they had a chunk or that backed up the sugar, and eventually they had done some changes which enclosed things. So now you had an enclosed area. Remember we talked about before how if you get above a certain dust concentration with a certain amount of oxygen, it caused an explosion. But that wasn't the end of the story, because their housekeeping was so bad that that explosion caused other dust, which was elsewhere on equipment, to be dispersed into the air, which then caused another mixture.
So it's a domino effect, right?
It was a domino
because of their poor housekeeping. Yeah. One event led to another major event,
which led to another major event. Right. And off the top of my head, I don't remember how many.
So it wasn't only how they were controlling the work process. It was also other areas where they had poor housekeeping that led to the initial event plus more events.
Yes. Right. So, you know, and any of us who work with powders, you know, taking powders from silos or taking powders from super sacks or whatever, it's hard to move that stuff around without causing a housekeeping problem. Yeah. So you can certainly imagine in a facility that has sugar dust all over the place, you certainly imagine how challenging that would be. Yeah. And how if you were to have some sort of an explosion, you know, and in a lot of cases, it's not the primary explosion that gets you. It's not the primary, you know, it's not the primary fire that gets you. It's the domino effects of that causing other things to happen. So anyway, that was kind of a real catalyst for changes
2008,
related to imperial sugar dust. Yep.
Okay, so that happens in 2008. Now what?
Well, so I mean, essentially over the next 10 plus years now since that happened. NFPA has really done a lot of work.
National Fire Protection Agency.
Administration?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway.
We're really good. We're really good podcast hosts.
NFPA has come out with a whole slew of standards related to combustible dust to give guidance to facilities about how to prevent these sorts of primary as well as secondary and tertiary type explosions. So what I thought we'd do here.
It's the National Fire Protection Association.
I knew agency.
We were both wrong.
Agency did not seem right to me. Yes.
I'm the one who said it.
It is it's an association.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm derailing us. Keep going. So NFPA took a very, this is where the consensus standards eventually or whatever came from this event, right?
Right. Well, it was a catalyst. And they had a standard before, but it was not as significant certainly as it is now.
Okay.
So what I thought we could do real briefly, because there's so much involved with this, but what I wanted to do is kind of give an overview of what the standards are.
Okay.
And then I want to focus on one of them, which is kind of like the overarching one, and kind of say the types of requirements that there are for it.
Yeah.
And just kind of give the listener kind of an overview. So this is not meant to be you're not going to come out of this being an expert on combustible dust, but hopefully you'll have a sense of the sorts of questions you should be asking.
By the end of the third hour, they should have enough, the listener should have enough info, right?
Oh, by the end of the third hour, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah, we're not going to go that long. There will be a test. We took the test off of this.
We should start putting tests.
We should.
On our website for our podcast.
That's an interesting.
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay. So what I wanted I'm going to start off with NFPA 652, because at this point in time, I'm not going to go over the evolution of these things, but at this point in time, this is kind of the overarching one.
Okay.
NFPA 652 is the fundamentals of combustible dust. And within NFPA 652, there is a flowchart which kind of leads you through whether or not you need, number one, do you have a combustible dust? And then if you do, what other consensus standards do you have to follow? And if you have a combustible dust, then basically there's a few different types of combustible dust which may lead you to other standards.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I wanted to go through here. So in the flowchart, one of the questions is the particulate solid a metal or an alloy?
Okay.
Okay. If so, then refer to NFPA 484, which is a standard for combustible metals.
Okay.
Makes sense. So there are four metals, there's specific requirements. And if you go to, if you go to 484, depending on what type of metal you have, there's different requirements.
Okay. Right?
So the next one is the particulate solid an agricultural or a food product? If so, then they lead you to NFPA 651, which is the standard for prevention of fires and dust explosions in agricultural and food processing facilities.
Okay.
Next one is the particulate solid or is a particulate solid from wood processing or woodworking?
You answer yes to this. It's going to, I'm going to guess here, go but ahead. It's going to incorporate by reference and send me to another NFPA standard on, or
it is.
Yeah, there you go.
And the one it's going to send you to is NFPA 664, which is the standard for prevention of fires and explosions in wood processing and woodworking facilities.
There you go.
See the correlation there?
Yeah.
The second to last one is the particulate solid sulfur?
Okay.
So there's actually a standard for the prevention of sulfur fires and explosions. That's NFPA 655.
Okay.
And then if nothing, if what you have does not apply to any of those, or if none of these apply to your situation, then they refer you to NFPA 654, which is standards for prevention of fires and dust explosions from the manufacturing, processing, and handling of combustible particulate solids.
Okay.
It's a mouthful.
Sure.
But basically what it's saying is that's the catch-all for where to go afterwards. So as I said before, we've got kind of this umbrella, which is 652, and it's going to send you to a bunch of different areas. And unless you're really in, you know, one of these other areas, which are fairly narrow in scope, you know, metals,
you're talking about your combustible dust classification.
Yeah. Combustible. Yeah, exactly. That you, most of the time, in the industries that I deal with, we end up in 654.
Okay.
Which is kind of, you know, the general one for manufacturing, processing, and handling of these things. So that's kind of the overview. And then the other thing that I want to talk about here kind of before we head off is what sorts of things we need to do.
Well, cause it's not, so there was the, you know, we talked about combustible dust at a high level and a major event in 2008.
Yep.
You can went through 652 and how it will put, you know, based on your classification, push you to other requirements. This is your kind of umbrella overarching document. Okay. So are there any, you know, you keep bringing this up. I say you, but we keep talking about an important date coming up or something that's a, you know, this is respect to DHAs. So right. Maybe I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but kind of that's where we're going, right?
That's kind of what you did.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So what I just wanted to spend the rest of the time here. Talking about within 652, what if you've got combustible dust, basically what sorts of things are you going to be required to do? And if you go into 652, it talks about, you know, the tests that you have to do and how to sample and all that stuff. So definitely if you think you have combustible dust, head right over to NFPA 652. But the date that we talked about, which is September 7th, 2020, which now we're in 2020. So that's where we're getting down to the wire here. One of the things you have to do is you have to have a dust hazards analysis on your process.
Okay.
So we're very familiar with a process hazards analysis.
So PHA.
Certainly you and I are. We've been dealing with PHAs as part of PSM for, 25 going on 30 years.
Yep.
People in the chemical industry in general, most places had been doing some sort of a PHA, a PHR, you know, some sort of assessment of their hazards, certainly before PSM came in. RMP has required a PHA. So we've been doing analyses like these.
We've been doing hazard analysis
for a long time.
In our processes for some time.
But most of that is focused on things like toxics, things like flammable liquids and flammable vapors.
Yeah.
There has not been a lot of focus on combustible dust because we didn't really understand how much of a risk there was.
Well, I mean, that event was in 2008, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I wanted to circle back just for a second. I meant to say this earlier because 2008 is not the only incident.
Yeah.
The CSB reports that between 1980 and 2005, over 119 people were killed. I'm sorry, 119 people were killed and 718 injured from dust explosion type events. So wow. it's not that we just had this thing in 2008. It was, you know, we've been having it for a long time.
You know, and this is a good thing for our listeners. It's similar to the PSM standard.
Right.
You know, there was, you had Flixboro, you had Bhopal, you had Piper Alpha, and really
you had a lot of
before you had the, you know, Pasadena, Texas refinery explosion in 1989 that led to the PSM standard. So just like this, 2008 was this big event with Imperial Sugar, but it wasn't the first.
No, it wasn't the
first. It was probably the last straw.
It certainly was the last straw in my mind, and there's probably people out there that would disagree that were closer to those events. Sure. But certainly watching events as they've transpired, that was the date. So, okay. So we got to do a DHA. Similar to a PHA, there are some differences, but you're going to basically do a very rigorous review of any place where you could have a combustible dust to determine, do you actually have a hazard that could result in an explosion? So, and then what do you think, if we decide yes, what do you think we need to do as part of a DHA?
As part of a DHA, yeah. I would think that you're going through the process, finding your potential combustible dust, and then referencing your not only controls you have in the process, but comparing those to the requirements or suggestions or best practices listed in the NFPA standards.
Exactly. So just like a PHA, we come out of that with, you know, a list of safeguards, a list of recommendations, all that sort of stuff.
So it's a little more prescriptive, I guess.
Yep.
And some of the safeguards you have in place
if
you have a combustible dust, which is nice.
Right. So, okay. So the DHA is important. And I recommend if you think you might have an issue, start that process soon, as far as identifying whether you really do need to have a DHA, and if so, get that, you know, get your that process moving.
But where you start is, do I have a combustible dust?
Exactly.
And that goes back
to the sampling and all that. And the standard does a nice job of leading you through that. I also want to touch on some of the management system requirements.
Yeah.
So if you have a combustible dust, you need to have certain management systems in place. Spoiler alert here, it's going to sound a lot like PSM. So what are things do we need to worry about? We need to worry about operating procedures.
Yeah.
A little bit different from PSM, we need to worry about housekeeping. We actually have to have a housekeeping program, and there's certain requirements for it. And
we've got to make sure to keep the dust down to the minimum. That's a critical safeguard.
It's a critical safeguard. And for dust, it's vital.
I mean, I know, for our listeners, I want to throw this out there, but I know you're going to go to the facility here soon that has some combustible dust. I know, just, you know, some of the work you're doing. And I've been to this facility, and I remember walking in, and they had a hose, you know, and everything looked wet. And I was like, why is everything wet? And they told me, they were like, you know, we have a combustible dust here. It's part of our housekeeping. We spray down everything. We keep things wet as a normal control in here to make sure that any of this powder, because in small quantities, it can get to a pretty hazardous condition. So they've put water everywhere.
They do. And that particular, yes. And that's part of their, and they have that ingrained.
It's a safeguard. Right?
It's a safeguard, and they have that ingrained in their processes. Yeah. So housekeeping, hot work. We've got specific requirements for personal protective equipment, specific requirements for mechanical integrity. They call it inspection, testing, and maintenance.
Yeah.
In the PSM world or RMP world, we call that mechanical integrity. Training and hazard awareness. Contractors, emergency planning and response. So again, you see a lot of these, a lot of similarities. Incident management of change. They actually have requirements for document retention.
Nice.
Employee participation. So there's a lot of similarities there. So we've identified we've got a combustible dust. We know we've got to do a DHA. Okay, now we know we need some of these management systems in place, which for a company or a facility, which is PSM or RMP, probably not a big deal.
Yeah.
For a company that is not, could be more of a...
Because they can't piggyback on existing management systems.
Exactly. So, and we'll talk in a separate podcast, we'll talk about setting programs up if you're a facility that's new to the requirement, et cetera.
Sure.
And then the standard also gets into preventing the any sort of explosion, and then also if you have an explosion, making sure the damage is minimized, and that pulls in the last two standards that I wanted to mention here in passing, because again, the whole nother ball.
There's a lot
in these, but NFPA 68, which is a standard on explosion protection by deflagration venting. So you have some for explosion. Let's get that pressure out of there so it doesn't blow up a building and make things worse. Yeah. And then there's NFPA 69, which is the standard on explosion prevention system. So that's the sort of thing, like, we're just going to try to prevent the explosion right flat out so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, in a very big nutshell, with a lot of different standard references, and I do apologize for that, but that's the way that this works. Sure. It's a little different from flammable liquids and flammable vapors in that different materials act different ways, so that we've got to kind of have them broken up.
But that's why it's got its own category, right?
Exactly. So anyway, so in a nutshell, that is pretty much what I wanted to throw out there about combustible dust. I hope it was useful. If you have any questions about combustible dust, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. I think that probably a lot of the larger companies out there probably are doing a good job on this and they're working on their DHAs to meet the September deadline. I think smaller companies maybe not so much. So
yeah,
certainly hope this makes you aware of some of the things that you got to do. And if there's any way we can help, please don't hesitate to reach out.
No, that's good information. I appreciate you going through that topic. Well, it was good. A lot, very informative. Yeah, nice. You know, Rob, thank you for your time today. but our listeners, thanks for listening today. You know, in our closeout, I think you know where to find us. You know, AmplifyConsultants.com, where we keep our podcast. Until next time, Rob.
Signing off. Have a good one. Thank you.
Sign off. Take care.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.